I'm Mike Snyder.
And I'm Bill Wills.
And it's Wills and Snyder each and every morning from 5 till 9. Bill, we got a lot every day, don't we?
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Thanks for checking out today's podcast each and every day. Make sure you follow us and download the show. If you hear us in the morning, miss an interview or something, Mike, this is a great way to catch it on the podcast and normally around weekday morning.
At your convenience, at your time, whether we're talking to Terry Pluto, Tom Hamilton, whoever it is. Of course, I'm always focused on that sports end, Bill.
News, sports, traffic, and weather on the 10s. Mornings, it's Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Now, enjoy today's show.
Filling up, 303 average for a gallon of gas this morning. More on your money. WTAM.com keyword money. Scott Scooterese, producer extraordinaire alongside. Trending coming up. Biden did what yesterday?
He called Kelly O'Donnell, Cleveland's own. She's an NBC news reporter. A pain in the neck.
Can you imagine if Trump would have done that yesterday? It'd be a 24-hour news cycle.
Oh, that would have been the number one story.
About his treatment of the press. All right, we'll get to that in a couple of things coming up. Traffic and weather together on the 10s first. Your drive. Good morning, Pat Butler.
Good morning, Bill. Next traffic update in 9 minutes at 5:20. Pat Butler, WTAM traffic on 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
Taco day for you, buddy.
It is.
Gonna enjoy one.
Moving right along.
Cleveland 3 News weather. Holly says a beauty. Sunshine again. Mid to upper 80s. I've got 72 right now. Your severe weather station.
Keep your eyes off some app and on the road. Hear what's ahead. Traffic and weather on the 10s, mornings and afternoons on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Indians open a two-game series against the Cardinals. Browns getting ready for training camp. Mike Snyder Sports coming up. All right, 5:13. This is Bill Wills. Good morning. Scott Scooterese, producer extraordinaire alongside. Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. Couple things. The VA becomes the first federal agency to require vaccination.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the medical industry, I just imagine that's probably going to be...
A lot of these came down yesterday.
Right, and I'm if you work in the medical industry, I'm sure it's probably going to end up being to where... That's the way it's going to be because Vanderbilt, that's also another story. Vanderbilt, the medical center, everybody has to have a requirement to have the vaccine.
New York, employees in New York City have to have the vaccine or be tested weekly for COVID. The story at the VA, employees have been given 8 weeks to get the shots, mandating the vaccine, Title 30 employees because it's the best way to keep veterans safe. You're a veteran, you feel better? They've had a shot?
Either way's fine. I know I have it. So
you're not as concerned about the other person.
No, as long as you have it, if that's the way you feel.
That story's up there. Plus, a guy in Texas pulls out a gun, starts shooting people, so people start throwing bricks at him.
Yes.
So that's up there.
We're going back to biblical times with this story, Bill, because the partygoers and the bystanders, they stoned him to death. So it's like it was something out of the Old Testament.
Literally.
They stoned him.
All right, White House yesterday, we've got the head of Iraq there, Kelly O'Donnell. How dare her ask a question of the President of the United States? Here's the audio. Take a listen.
Veterans Affairs is going to have a mandate.
You are such a pain in the neck when I'm going to answer your question because you've known each other for so long. It has nothing to do with Iraq. The answer. No. I'll answer your question. Yes, Veteran Affairs is going to, in fact, require that all docs working in that and facilities are going to have to be vaccinated.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Get out of here.
Hurry. Oh, yeah. They get ornery.
Called
bit
her
the
a
press.
Pain in the neck. Nah, he did it in a nice, calm fashion.
Right.
It's Joe.
Well, the ground rule was Joe said.
It's Joe.
Basically, Joe said, look, I'm only going to take questions about Iraq or whatever. So she threw that out there.
How dare her.
And he got aggravated.
Well, you know, it's just Joe. Pain in the neck. No big deal. Relax. Boy, Trump does that. We're like 24-hour news cycle.
They'd have had Kelly on Morning Joe.
Oh, yeah. All right. Wilson Center Facebook, WillsonCenter.com. Check the stories out. Scoop, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Pain in the neck. Coming up in 5, Rory O'Neill will join us. It looks like the housing market boom may have burst here in the last couple of days. He's got some new housing numbers. We'll get to that coming in. Sports, 5:15. Morning, Mike Snyder.
Good morning, Bill. And a good morning for a local Olympian. Cleveland's Delonte Tiger Johnson won his welterweight bout in Tokyo just about an hour ago, defeating Kazakhstan's Ablakhan Zuspov in a 4-1 decision. So Tiger moves on to the next round. After a day off, Indians begin a two-game interleague series with the Cardinals tonight. 7:10 game time. You can hear it right here and free on the iHeartRadio app. Cal Quantrill on the mound. In a move off the field yesterday, the Indians claimed left-handed pitcher Westlake-born Alex Young. He'd been on the waiver wire after being released by Arizona. Now, to make a roster spot for him, Aaron Civale gets moved to the 60-day IL. Really not a setback for Aaron, but right now the earliest that he could pitch for the Tribe again in the majors would be August 21st. Browns rookie linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah via Twitter yesterday said he's feeling fine despite the fact he was placed on the COVID-19 list. Now, we don't know this. If he's been vaccinated, he actually could be on the field by the end of the week with two negative tests. However, if he had not been vaccinated, then he has to go into quarantine for 10 days, which would keep him off the practice field until next week. And this vaccination, non-vaccination issue has become a thorny one in the NFL. Some teams want the non-vaccinated players to wear wristbands on the practice field, and the union taking exception to that. More on the Browns in a moment. Speaking of a thorny issue, I don't know if it's resolved, but they've at least settled to say, well, let's deal with this year. Aaron Rodgers arrived in Green Bay last night, took a private jet into town, so he will report to training camp on time today for the Packers. NBA draft is Thursday. The Detroit Pistons have the top pick, and they're expected to select
Cade Cunningham, 6'8" guard, Oklahoma State.
Cunningham will launch a long three, good!
A tall point guard with a 7-foot wingspan. Cunningham can create his own shot, hit three-pointers, and use his size, including on the defensive end. In college, however, he turned the ball over too often, and some teams were able to limit him with double-team defenses. He's a quality draft choice, but with understandable room for improvement.
Now, there have been reports that he's not a lock to be taken at number one by Detroit, who also have interest in 6'5 shooting guard Jalen Green, guard Jalen Suggs, and 7-footer Evan Mobley. The good news for the Cavs, of those four, well, someone's going to be there for them at three. And we'll have complete draft coverage for you Thursday night right here. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
This training camp report is brought to you by Bud Light, an official beer of the Cleveland Browns.
Browns rookies and undrafted free agents have already been working out. All the vets are due to report today. Now, as training camp gets underway, top pick Greg Newsome signed his contract over the weekend, and he knows what the challenge is to be a top cornerback in the NFL.
I'm looking forward to going against all, you know, the best receivers in the league. And, you know, we got two of them right here on this team. So, honestly, I'm looking forward to going against those guys. Iron sharpens iron, and, you know, at practice is where you're going to get better. So I'm just looking forward to going against Jarvis, Odell, DPJ, you know, all those guys every single day of practice.
Yeah, those daily practices are going to begin with a first full practice workout tomorrow, for the first full squad workout tomorrow. Training camp reports brought to you by Bud Light, an official beer of the Cleveland Browns. I'm Mike Snyder.
Here's some breakfast for your brain.
First, we're on the housing market. Rory O'Neill joined us. The trend has been up, 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 but you've got some numbers the last few days have been reported. Maybe we've leveled off?
Yeah, we're looking specifically at new single-family homes in the U.S., obviously. That number fell 6.6% in the month of June compared to May, and then they revised the May figure even lower as well. So the median price of a new home, $361,800. Now that's up about 20 grand from last year at the same time, but it's down from the May figure of 380 grand. So we are seeing some changes going on in the new housing market.
These are national numbers. I mean, it depends on zip codes, locations. There's hot zips in every city. Here in Cleveland, we have several that are still pretty hot. And I think price-wise, Rory, it's still that challenge for someone to buy that first home. I mean, the price has gone up to where it's almost out of reach for a lot of people.
Well, and that's what we're seeing. You know, we've all heard about that lumber shortage and the way prices have been spiking. Things have really come back down on that lumber cost. But now you're really only seeing new homes built for the upper end client. You're not seeing new starter homes being built. And really, a lot of people are just locked out of the market. They want to buy, but they can't find something they can afford.
Rory O'Neill this morning on it. Thanks, Rory.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, new home sales dropping 6.6%. Market thought about 3.5%. So just a negative tone, if you will. Could be temporary. We'll see on the housing market. Something to watch.
Bill Wills. Something you can tell somebody today.
Our security and people trying to hack us all the time. News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Crime terrorism analyst Brad Garrett with me on watching surveillance and devices, and this, I've read a couple things on Pegasus. What is this thing, and how's it touching me?
So Pegasus is really a military-grade spyware that a company in Israel developed. They primarily sell it to intelligence and law enforcement agencies. But clearly, Bill, someone else has gotten a hold of it. I mean, if you're hacking into the presidents of France, Pakistan, South Africa, and numerous other high-profile journalists, etc., then you're probably up to no good. So I guess what I'm trying to convey here is that, yes, this is really serious spyware, but you and I, Bill, can buy spyware off the Internet, basically, to basically go into someone's phone, be able to, once you get it applied, look at their emails, turn their cameras off and on, listen to their telephone conversations, and then more importantly, maybe, is they can now figure out who you're talking to, which, depending on their motive, may be quite important. So I think the idea here is spyware is a big deal. It's out there in all different forms. And we have to be cognizant that it might well be on our phone.
Some of the stuff we see on NCIS, while they're breaking down info on cell phones and smartphones. Hey, a part of this Pegasus thing, if I recall, when Khashoggi, the Washington Post reporter that was killed, didn't they think the Saudis were using this at that time too?
I think the Saudis were using it and mainly tracking his fiance, I believe, and another female that was talking to him regularly. Because you can easily figure out, if you have this system and maybe a couple of others, if one of the girls would call Khashoggi and it would show where she was and where he was, you then could have, in effect, track his movements. Now, obviously, they did, to get him inside that embassy or consulate to eventually kill him. So can it be used to those ends? Sadly, it could.
Yeah. Hey, I guess it's just a reminder. Not that I'm running around with state secrets driving through Parma or Cleveland Heights here in Northeast Ohio, but it is a reminder. When you're on that smartphone or email, whatever, you may not be alone, right?
You may well not be alone. And, you know, if we're going after you and I, Bill, it's going to be to steal bank account information,
right,
or
right,
get
right
into your or steal your identity theft,
right,
your social security number. So, you know, quickly, if your phone starts to slow down, if the home page on your phone or even your laptop changes, that's something to be aware of.
Yeah.
These devices can do all sorts of things, and sometimes really, particularly phones, Bill, it's difficult to get it off the phone. You may need a professional.
A good reminder, though, with summer travel and hook up with Wi-Fi wherever you're stopping sometimes, just be aware of who's around. Yeah, good points. All right, Crime Terrorism Analyst Brad Garrett on Pegasus this morning. Brad, thanks much.
Take care, Bill.
Infrastructure bill, bringing Michael Bauer. A couple headlines. CNBC says senators hope to forge ahead with bipartisan infrastructure bill this week. CNN says Biden's infrastructure bill is on shaky ground. Reuters says fresh skirmishes slow the U.S. Senate bipartisan infrastructure talks. What does Michael Bauer say?
I say throw in finger pointing and the allegations of goalpost moving. You've got Capitol Hill pretty much in its entirety right now. And that bipartisan Biden infrastructure deal, much like some of the roadways and bridges is meant to repair, seems to be falling apart. Democratic and Republican negotiators struggling to reach an agreement on lingering disputes Monday, meaning they did not. And senators that struck a deal in June with President Biden that would allow for $579 billion in new infrastructure spending have spent the week since trying to hammer out the details and have been unable to finalize a bill. Add to the fact that President Trump weighed in yesterday urging Republicans to walk away from the talks or, quote, be played by Democrats as weak fools and losers, and you've got where we stand right now with the infrastructure deal, which is trouble in paradise. That's the best way to put it. And patience is wearing thin amongst those doing the negotiating right now. You had on Sunday Democrats sending Republicans a global offer, which they said would resolve some of the outstanding issues like broadband policy, labor provisions, and it was turned down by the Republicans saying that too little, too late. So then you saw them getting back to discussions yesterday and the talks basically seemingly all day looking like they were going to collapse in a big way. Sticking points including funding for public transit, water systems, broadband, and how to pay for the sweeping plan, as well as a Democratic proposal to require federal contractors to pay certain wages to people. And that seems to be one of the big problems here. So again, as an issue looked like all day long, it was going to be an impending failure. Late yesterday, as you saw these people leaving, senators involved in the talk said they would be returning to conversations today. So there's still some hope, although not particularly clear how easy it will be.
President Biden really wants to sign some. He wants to show that he said he can get everybody together, and this is a great example of trying to get everybody together. But right now, it's just not looking that way.
Yeah, I mean, look, it looks like he's gotten them to the red zone, right? Gotten to the point where they came to a decision, an agreement. Now they're trying to get the wording done on that, and that's been the problem here for the most part. So he's gotten them to a point. If this doesn't happen, that's where you're going to start to see a concern of implosion, where you're going to see Democrats try to push things through a reconciliation process that is going to really split the party and split all elements of Capitol Hill right now. So the hope is they can be able to get this thing done, but they don't have a whole lot of time remaining to do it.
Michael Bauer on it this morning. Michael, thanks much.
You got it. Stay safe, Bill.
All right, before we get to traffic and weather, entertainment news, names, notes, trending this morning. Jason Nathanson with a couple things for you here. Jason?
People still love Ted Lasso.
It's all about believing that everything's going to work out in the end.
Apple says last Friday, season 2 premiere of the soccer comedy had the biggest premiere ever for Apple TV+. Though the company didn't give actual numbers. And show star Hannah Waddingham tells me she thought people would like season 2, but you never know for sure.
Honestly, I've never been so invested in something ever of hoping that people who fell in love with it before will still be in love with it. It's crazy.
Episode 2 of Ted Lasso Season 2 will be out on Friday.
That the power of Christ compels you!
The Exorcist, being compelled back onto the big screen, Universal and the streaming service Peacock have inked a deal for 3 sequels. Stevie Nicks' first solo baby turns 40 today. Her album Belladonna hit shelves July 27, 1981, hit number one on the Billboard album chart and sold more than 4 million copies. And TV legend Norman Lear is 99 today. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
40 years ago for Belladonna. It's a great music. Wasn't that Don Henley and her on that song?
And also there, right? Tom Petty.
Tom Petty is the one.
And who cannot forget the Stevie Nicks, Tom Petty video, MTV, when she sang that song.
MTV years, yeah.
Oh, gosh. And that helped it. This album here, I mean, even though she was popular with Fleetwood Mac, but
she did that little hat on, dancing around.
This album just...
Belladonna.
Just put her right on the top of the mountain.
640 at News Radio, WTAM 1100. Browns training camp getting underway today. We'll talk about it with Terry Pluto in about 10. Sports with Mike Snyder here coming up. Mike, let's start over in Tokyo. Jim Ryan joined us. Boy, they are all sorts of events going on and medals being handed out. I think we just got a surprise in the breaststroke, at least. Lydia Jacoby, the U.S. 17, wins a gold here. Jim, did I just see that?
Yeah, she won the gold medal there, the 100-meter breaststroke on the women's side. She has taken gold. A bit of a surprise there, and adding to the total that the United States has racked up, Bill. We've got 22 medals altogether at this point, but that changes hour by hour. That is the leading medal count overall in the entire world. The U.S., China, and Japan are tied. Well, no, actually, that has just changed. 9 gold medals for the U.S., 9 for China, and 8 for Japan. So, I mean, it's changing hour by hour at this point.
Bottom line is, this is the time. There are a ton of events going on, right?
Oh, yes. And, of course, tonight is the one that so many Americans will watch. That's the women's gymnastics. The team competition will be going on. So watch for that. That's going to be, I think, when the viewership in the U.S. really spikes. We'll see what Simone Biles and company can do. And perhaps that viewership will be higher even now because the women came in second during qualifying to the Russian Olympic Committee team. So that may drive even more people to the TV set.
Kind of underdogs, and I think I saw a quote from Simone Biles saying she's feeling the pressure today.
She is. I don't know if it's fair to call them underdogs. She has set the bar, quite literally, for the whole world, including for herself, Simone Biles, as the head of that team. So, you know, underdog, maybe. Will they get a medal? Almost certainly. Will it be a gold? Possibly. You know, we'll see what happens.
Jim Ryan on it from Tokyo. Thanks, Jim.
See you, Bill.
All right, let's get to it. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Theater, Cleveland.com. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. I think all three teams are making some news somehow. Let's start with our Browns. Good morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Wills.
Did I see even all the preseason games are broadcast nationally?
All televised live nationally.
And you posted your expectations story, the big picture. They're not naive. They know the pressure's on, right?
Yeah, they do, and they just want to make sure they don't go from 11-5. Well, this game, 5-11 is what they did in the past. But, you know, with 17 games, they're trying to really set up everything so the players know the expectations are there and that you don't pick up just where you left off last year, all that kind of stuff. So we'll see how it goes.
Terry, what are your biggest questions about them as they start camp?
I know they added players for the secondary, but I think defensive backs are like pitchers. You can never have enough. We all thought, for example, the Indians would be fine with their starting pitching. You're scrambling around with injuries and that. That's my biggest one. And also remember, Mike, they attack your secondary. Most teams do. They throw the ball a lot. You know, the Browns hope it by adding Clowney and some of these other defensive line. You might be able to get more pressure on the quarterback, but in the end, you got to cover the receivers.
Yeah, and also stop the run too, Terry. I've got a few concerns about linebackers and even the interior of that defensive line.
That's a possibility, but I guess my feeling is if you're forcing them to run, you know, I was surprised. The Browns, I forgot whether it was 10th or 12th against a run. That's what they ranked last year. But if you remember they were pretty porous in the secondary, and there's a lot of holes out there. And they added John Johnson. They brought in Troy Hill, dude mm-hmm. from Youngstown. And then they also just went out. You know, Grant Delp is supposed to be healthy. We'll see. Greedy Williams is supposed to be healthy. We'll see. Denzel Ward is supposed to stay healthy. We'll see. So there's some we'll sees out there.
But overall, there's a lot to be excited about in camp now. First full squad practice tomorrow. Terry, the Indians into this week now on the field. They've got some decisions. Trade deadline coming up Friday. Of course, the big story, the name change. You've written some very interesting pieces. Your thoughts about the new name, the Guardians, and also how they got there. Have you had a few days to let this marinate? Some thoughts you have now going forward.
Other than the logo, which I don't like, if they had to change the name, I'm good with the Guardians. I called it safe and boring, and I'm still okay with that. I understand why they kept the color scheme the same, and you know, even the letters, the script is very close. Because when you have a team that's had the same name for 106 years, you don't suddenly want to go and have everything new. Now, some fans wrote me that that's what they wanted to see. What do you want to do? Go purple and black like the Ravens or something? I mean, no, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, so many of the things look, you know, the color scheme, the logo.
By design. It was by design.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. We're just going to slip that Guardians thing here on you, right?
Yeah, and try it. Because you want to hang on to something.
Right.
You really do. It's not like it's an expansion team that moved here from somewhere else or like the Seattle Kraken that's starting brand new. And in terms of the trading deadline, I expect them to move some veterans. I mean, you already see they put the Bieber and Savali on that 60-man list, which rolls them all the way back to the middle of August. You know, if they end up over 500 out of this year, I think it's a really good accomplishment.
Get us out of here with the Cavs, guys. Thursday night, right, Grant?
Yeah.
Mike Snyder?
Yeah, third pick. Big night for them, Terry.
It is. It got kind of lost in all this. It really is because I'm going to try to write something about that for tomorrow. You know, we go through over the same players, Mobley or Green or Suggs and that stuff. But I'm curious to see if they make any other type of moves too in terms of whether you trade Sexton, which you want to make a good deal for that.
Right.
You know, forget trading Love. You know, nobody's going to particularly want him unless you're taking even a more damaged player in return. But maybe it's something that's unforeseen, just to make the team better.
Any movement at the top? Any surprises, Mike? You think?
Well, I don't think Detroit. Detroit's going to take Cunningham. I would think. Yeah. There's a story out there. There's always rumors, but I think they'll take him. And then it depends what Houston does. And some of the recent indications that say they want to go with Green, which would leave the Cavs a 7-footer Mobley. Terry, they're in a good spot though. They're going to get a very, very good player if they just stay put at three.
Yeah, they will. And by the way, it's really hard when you're the number one team in the draft and there's a pretty good player like Cunningham there to trade him. That's hard to do.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Theater, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter at Terry Pluto. Great stuff as always. Good takes on the Browns as camp is getting underway in Berea. Terry, thanks, pal.
Take care, guys.
See you, buddy.
Babbel.com.
All right, Bill.
Good enough. All right. Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire. Alongside Cleveland's Morning News with the Wills and Snyder. Wills and Snyder Facebook page, willsandsnyder.com. So this is out of Dallas. We got a report here, right?
Yeah, Dallas-Fort Worth. Here we go.
Guys got a gun, starting to shoot at people. People around don't have a gun, but they got bricks.
Yes, and we're going back to biblical times.
They just gave us an update. Five people were involved in this. They say it all happened at a party when there was a fight in a neighborhood in southwest Fort Worth. Police say those shooting victims defended themselves and turned on the gunmen with gardening stones. ultimately killing him. This all happened just before 1 a.m. Investigators say there was a fight at the party in Fort Worth's Como neighborhood near Bryant Irvin Road and the Chisholm Trail Parkway. A man pulled out a gun and started shooting at the crowd. One person died. Another is in critical condition. Two others were hurt in that shooting. They are expected to be okay. The crowd at that point then started throwing those gardening stones and killed the gunman. Police say all of the people who were involved knew each other. At this point in time, they have not released any names. We are still waiting for an update at some point this morning.
Stone the
Fort Worth police.
Yeah, basically, right? Basically straight out of the Old Testament.
They all knew each other?
Well, it's a party. Everybody knows each other.
He left on an argument. He came back with a gun. People got shot.
They don't have a gun, but they got stones.
Yes.
Literally.
And they stoned him.
Wow. See the story. Wilson Center Facebook, wilsoncenter.com. Wonder if there'll be any charges against the people.
Self-defense.
Through the stones. I don't know. Interesting case. All right. Hey, coming up in five, the Indians name change, of course, to Guardians. I'm sure it was a topic. You were out yesterday playing golf with Austin Carr and
the crew,
right?
Wonderful day with the Youth Opportunities Unlimited and the Austin Carr golf outing benefiting that great organization at Stonewater.
Beautiful.
And it was a great day. My group, they were very patient to have me.
I'm sure Jeff, Christian Lee. You carried him?
No, I didn't carry him. I made a few putts, though.
I'm sure you did.
I showed the way. I was that good leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
You know, that leadoff putter for guys like you that can
roll them in.
I got you. Show them the direction.
I'll show you the line. Okay.
Right.
Anyway, with that in mind, a lot of people are still, I mean, look, this is going to take a while for, and some will never get over it when it comes to the name change. Having said that, a lot of talk about, hey, well, how about the other team? How about other people? The Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Well, coming up in five, the Chiefs are doing something different. We'll get to that.
And the slow parade of fears without pride. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could.
Jackson and James. The tour had to be put off because of COVID, had to reschedule and everything this Saturday night at Blossom. They'll finally be on stage.
Doctor, my eyes.
And coming up at 8:20, our buddy Barry Gable at Live Nation will join us. They got that big $20 back to live concert ticket promotion thing, right?
Way back in 2019 when they were doing it. Yeah, that's an outstanding standing price.
Barry will explain. There's like a special promotion today, but a lot of, like 1,000 different shows, Live Nation, all around the country. So if like you're on vacation, you want to travel a bit, you might look at a Live Nation venue in the city you're going to.
Sure.
Might save a lot on tickets. So Barry will explain at 8:20 when he joins.
Yes, it's good information. They don't want to miss this.
Quick story before we get to this Chiefs thing. I thought of you yesterday. There's a story here. An Uber Eats driver in Maryland. Now, Scooter's playing the lottery every day.
Oh, I know.
It's amazing how he hits on things and wins.
Yeah.
Uber Eats driver in Maryland waiting in her car for her next delivery. Had bought a scratch-off lottery ticket, scratched it off, and won $250,000.
No. Whoa! Oh, my gosh, that's
While she was sitting there waiting on her next Uber Eats delivery.
I would have called it a day.
$250,000.
Did she follow through on the delivery or not?
I said no delivery for me today. Sorry.
No delivery. I thought of you when I saw that.
Oh, why can't that? That'll happen to me soon. I bet you. Probably.
That's the sad thing. That's the sad
thing. Just keep playing.
It will.
It probably will, Bill.
All right. The NFL's can. This is from CNN. The NFL's Kansas City Chiefs won't be changing the team's nickname anytime soon, but they're retiring the horse mascot named Warpaint. Anybody know the Chiefs had a mascot named Warpaint?
Yeah, I've seen that horse before.
We got Slider, they got Warpaint.
After they score a touchdown, they Warpaint gallops around the field.
The announcement came after MLB's Cleveland Indians announced Friday they would become the Cleveland Guardians next year. The Indians will join the NFL's Washington football team, formerly the Washington Redskins, in moving on in recent years from a name evoking Native Americans. The Chiefs, though, like the MLB Braves, don't plan on changing the name. From the GM of the Chiefs, quote, "We have a really good American Indian working group that provides us real guidance and feedback and perspective on the issue. And because of that, the Kansas City Chiefs say they're not going to change their name because they've got an Indian group they work with."
Mm-hmm. That evidently...
I wonder if they have tickets to the games. I think they've got nice seats, this Indian group.
That's a good question.
They got some good box seats. Yeah. The Chiefs, Arrowhead out there?
Arrowhead Stadium.
When they have the meetings and they happen to be on Sunday before a 1 o'clock kickoff.
I bet you they sit 50 yard line.
Everything okay? Okay, good. Let's start the game.
There you go.
Any problems this week? All right, we're good.
But the war paint is no longer going to be used. Also, they are holding back. You can't wear
a headdress.
In that anymore. They stopped that last year.
The war paint tradition was reintroduced as a part of the team's 50th anniversary after a 20-year hiatus. War paint had been mounted by a rider dressed in traditional Native American headdresses and garb. When they brought it back, they thought that might be a little too much. In August of 2020, the Chiefs did ban fans from wearing ceremonial headdresses and Native American-style face paint at the stadium. The team does allow fans to do a cheer called the Tomahawk Chop. There's also a pregame tradition of beating of the drum for the Kansas City Chiefs. But again, because they have this, how do they put this? Quote, we have a really good American Indian working group that provides us guidance and feedback and perspective on the issue. We've got that group, and so they're going to continue with all this.
And evidently the group said, though, but the horse needs to go.
Horse got to go.
Yeah.
But the rest of the stuff can stay, according to the Native American group that works with them. Let's see. Chiefs nearly 40 years ago in starting in Kansas City and the traditions, and they simply say it's not a problem. We're going to continue at the Chiefs' first preseason home game is August 27th.
So whatever their first game, of course, will be against the Browns September 12th.
Yes, they will. Whatever pressure they have felt in the past, they're not going to change. They're going to stay the course. The Washington football team, are they going to rename, or when are they going to
do? Yes, next year, though.
Next year. We're going to wait a little longer.
2022, they say.
All right, we'll see.
And the Braves still do their...
they still do that in Atlanta?
Yeah, the same thing the Chiefs do, that...
The tomahawk chop. Okay. Radio WTAM 1100. Thanks, Rob.
And now, 5 good minutes.
On tech and shopping, got some back-to-school things you're buying. Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad's come across 5 ways to save us some money. You have our attention now. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Bill.
We've got if you follow Derek on Twitter, Agent 3012, he's got a link on what we're talking about so you can follow up. Different ways to click around, look around, ask around, because you got some ways to save us money here. Run these by me this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, these days, back to school has really been something where just about students of every age have some kind of technology they may be looking for. Very first thing, kind of almost obvious here, is that we absolutely recommend that if you are a student or a parent of a student, go ahead and sign up for our student deals. Visit bestbuy.com/student deals. You can sign up there. You'll get emails as well as notifications of any special deals for students, things like save up to $250 on different types, select types of laptops, different technology, everything from routers, even some of the stuff that you may be using, you know, at that college dorm, everything from exercise equipment to TVs, headphones, stuff like that.
Okay, now here's another tip. You may have something laying around you don't use anymore that is worth a gift card or something to trade in the old tech, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're always looking at ways to kind of responsibly reuse older tech, whether it's through recycling, but also we do take trade-ins of used tech, things like tablets, laptops, even gaming hardware, those old consoles. This is a great way to get a Best Buy gift card to help you upgrade to that latest tech. We do have an online trade-in calculator. You visit the website, lets you see, put in the whatever it is that you have, the condition of it, any accessories, and it'll give you a estimate so that then you can bring that in. And you know, a great way to take care of that, especially now for some people who are already in the process of upgrading new tech. It's a way to kind of take a little bit of that sting out of that new purchase.
Agent Derek Meister, Geek at the Geek Squad, some ways to save you money on back-to-school tech shopping. Okay, now, if I'm walking around, I'm looking at stuff, I got something picked out for my son or daughter or for me, once in a while you see these open box deals, if you will. Sometimes they're in a certain section of the store. Do you take a chance and go that route maybe too?
You know, these are a great option for you. These are discounted products, usually things that have been returned to the store or and then inspected by our Geek Squad agents to make sure that they're in great condition. They'll actually mark on there, you know, exactly. We do have different grading on there that'll explain exactly what those are. Really nice thing, though, is that you can actually shop for those not just in the store but also online. When you're looking through products online, usually in the left-hand column when you can sort things by, you know, price, et cetera. there's usually an option in there for to look for open box items. Go ahead and just check that just to look through to see what's actually in there. We have a surprising number of products that are almost brand new, but you can instantly save like 10% for something that's you know, almost brand new, but just happened to be returned. So it's just a great option on there to look. Also, things options you can look for is clearance and discontinued items, stuff like that on there.
Okay.
Just give you more options when you're shopping.
Hey, also make sure you, or if you got your son, a buddy of mine's got a daughter heading off to college for the first time in Miami. Make sure you understand on that and what, you know, a lot of that information is posted. But technically, just make sure what the college expects or what you can use at that school too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is important whether, you know, your kid's going to grade school, high school, or college. You want to find out exactly what type of tech they need. Some schools, for example, you know, especially the grade schools, they're really pushing the Chromebooks. Those are just a great option just because you know, they're a little bit more kid-proof in terms of the software on there.
Yeah.
But also just really they're a lot cheaper. Same thing is true just for, you know, if you're going to the college for different majors. Each major just has different needs. I know that we all want to get the latest and greatest, the best that we can get. And sometimes, though, you know, that might not be the area that you necessarily need certain type of tech for. So you want to make sure that you're right-sizing the tech for what your student is actually going to need.
Agent Derek Meister, the geek at the Geek Squad, some ways to save you some money on buying tech back to school. Follow him on Twitter, Agent3012. He's got the link up for all the different things. Good stuff. Derek, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Breaking news we're following for you this morning. Rob Bailey's alongside. This is Simone Biles' story. Now, the reporting is a couple of things. She's out, first of all.
Right.
Why she's out? I mean, there was a story yesterday. She felt a lot of pressure.
And that's actually the latest that we're getting
and that,
right now,
And now we're hearing that more than maybe a physical injury,
that's,
huh?
That's right. Yeah, okay. Just got all a text right from our News Central there. Yeah, the gymnastics champion Simone Biles is out of the team finals after apparently suffering a leg injury. However, that may now be because of mental health issues.
Okay.
In a little over an hour, a House Select Committee of 7 Democrats and 2 Republicans opens their investigation into January's attack on the Capitol. Close, but not quite there. Senate negotiators still trying to settle differences on an infrastructure agreement. Governor Mike DeWine will not be mandating mask wearing in our schools.
And with Simone Biles, if I see the schedule right, they've got the team competition.
It's underway right now.
And the singles, maybe she could still, I don't know, but it's, we'll see.
No right word yet on how it'll affect her individual events.
All right, so interesting. Rob, thanks much. Anything new, we'll pass it along right away. More news with Rob Bailey in 8 minutes.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. This is Bill Wills, our buddy Barry Gable of Live Nation. I hope you're resting up, because I'm looking at your calendar for like the next, what, 3 months? You got to be somewhere almost every night, man.
I got my run shoes on, that's for sure, Bill.
Little James Taylor, I want to mention this. Saturday, I know we're sneaking the orchestra in. We've got James Taylor, Jackson Brown, Saturday at Blossom, and then just show after show after show coming up at Blossom, right?
That's for sure. You know, like I told you once before, we're going to start a little bit later, but we're going to run a little bit later, too. So our season runs this Saturday, like you said, with James and Jackson Brown. And, you know, James is the most... he's played at Blossom more than anybody else. I think this is going to be his 25th time performing out there.
Wow.
And we'll continue the season ending in October 15th, unless Michael Belkin finds another couple of shows to do in October. We have Jason Aldean in October on the 15th. So
we'll
it's
see
really
what
robust schedule.
Yeah, I mean, look, knowing Belkin, we could probably do a show and then bring in Santa Claus right afterwards with the snow flying. We'll just have to wait and see what happens out there.
Can you imagine TSO out of Blossom? Amazing.
Hey, never say never. Barry's got an idea going. Let's think about it. Now, I got you on this morning because there's big news from Live Nation celebrating the return to live concerts and offering fans $20 tickets, and these are venues around the country. What do I need to know here?
Well, we, like you said, we have nearly 1,000 shows, more than 1 million tickets that'll be going on sale tomorrow at 12 noon as part of our Return to Live concert special, where people, fans, can purchase tickets for $20, all in, no additional fees. This will be lawn tickets. Some venues will have rear pavilion. And pretty much every show will have some of these tickets available, and the offer is going to run until Sunday. the August 1st, or as they say, while supplies last. And this is going to be really a hot ticket. You know, we've done this in every year since we've been open. It's our annual summer sale. And it's not only going to be for shows at Blossom, like you mentioned, and Jacobs Pavilion, but in Youngstown, in Toledo, where we do shows in the summertime. And some of the shows that'll include, you know, we'll have the Jonas Brothers, Florida Georgia Line, Jason Aldean, the Black Crows, Doobie Brothers, Zach Brown. The list goes on and on. And for the full list of shows available, everybody should just go to LiveNation.com. They'll be able to see the entire list. You know, the list generates geographically. So when you log on and you're in Northeast Ohio, it'll take you to either the Blossom page or the Jacobs Pavilion page.
Great reminder, though, if you're traveling some over the next couple of months, take a look at these different venues, because there may be a concert where you're heading and you can really save, right, Barry?
100% yes. You know, a lot of people, even if you're just driving to, say, a Detroit,
sure,
or Pittsburgh or Buffalo, Indianapolis, St. Louis, you know, these are great markets that have some shows that may not even be playing Blossom. And, you know, I know that we're going to be doing the Hella Mega Tour deck down in Columbus. It's the only Ohio appearance of Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer. And that show's August 17th, and that's going to be part of the $20 ticket offer as well.
Beautiful. All right, so bottom line, LiveNation.com. Log on this morning. This sale, though, starts tomorrow at high noon. There's an exclusive T-Mobile pre-sale that cranks up today at noon. You want to check on that as well. But bottom line is the bottom line in saving. And I'll tell you what, Barry, you and I have talked about this before with all these concerts, tours that were, you know, from last year, you got to book this year and vice versa. There's so many shows out there. People are stretching their budget. This is a great way to do it, though. Look at these savings on these tickets.
Yes, it is, and it's amazing, you know. And then you can also see what's available if you, if you're one of those people that really want to sit up close.
Yeah.
You can at least check out where those locations are as well. But, you know, it's been a difficult year, and the bands, the crew, I know the Live Nation staff across the country couldn't be more excited about getting back on the road. You know, James has a song, That's Why I'm Here,
yep,
off that album, and yep, it just is perfect. It says, got my baby, got my blanket, got my bucket of beer.
Excellent. Love it. All right, little Chris Stapleton to get us out of here. Hey, think about that TSO in December, though. We might need to do that, okay, pal?
I know. We got WTAM Scar.
Barry, all the best. We'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Barry Gable, LiveNation.com. Check out the ticket sale. $20 seats, a lot of venues, a lot of shows starting tomorrow at noon. You can check out LiveNation.com this morning. Chris Stapleton, week for tomorrow night with El King. Out of Blossom.
Angels come down from the heavens just to help us on our way. Come to teach us, then they leave us, and they find some other soul to save. See my share.
Up with this infrastructure bill? Looks like it could be falling apart. Michael Bauer will join us at 5 on that story. It's 845 WTAM 1100. This bill wills. Mike Snyder alongside Jim Rosenhaus, fresh off that big grad party Sunday. Apologies to all the neighbors in Bay. The big tent and 18-wheeler had to come. Huey Sound was probably there, you know, yeah, in concerts. And
yeah.
Food trucks galore. And I'm not making up any of that, by the way. Good morning, Jim.
You know, a well-placed dinner to the police officers going by from the food truck, it works wonders.
It helped with traffic, I know. On some. Yes, grad parties are fun. The Rosies have a young man that is moving on to bigger and better things. More expensive, too, but that's just the way life is. So, yeah, congratulations. Let us talk some Indians now. We've got Cardinals in for two here, guys. Right, Jim?
Yeah, you know, it's a rare appearance by St. Louis, although with last year's different schedule and now, you know, back in the NL Central for Interleague, they're back in town, and they played a couple of games earlier this season. And, you know, they're kind of similar to the Indians, trying to figure out what to do here with the trade deadline approaching. And are they in? Are they out? And, you know, what direction do they go in for the future? So it'll be an interesting series here. But good pitching matchups, looks like.
And, Jim, as you say that, the trade deadline around the corner, always an interesting week in baseball. Lots of speculation really around the sport, isn't there?
It is, and this year's a little bit different because in years past, you had kind of that second deadline at the end of August where you can make the waiver deals to get someone on the postseason roster as long as you did that by the end of August. But that goes away, so this is the only trade deadline. Once Friday at 4 comes and goes, that's it. So, you know, if you're thinking about trying to improve your team or you want to maybe make some moves that make it look a little bit better for next season and beyond, you have to take care of that by Friday. So I would think we would see more activity than we normally do. It's been kind of quiet so far, but there have been some interesting ones. We saw it over the weekend with Nelson Cruz coming to Tampa Bay, and maybe that's just the start of some bigger things here this week.
4 o'clock on Friday is the deadline. Well, Jim, we kind of know that Shane Bieber and Aaron Civale, the earliest we could see them would probably be the end of August. But as we've seen these young guys, McKenzie the other day, Mejia the night before him, Cal Quantrill tonight, these young pitchers have shown, I mean, they've kind of started to figure some things out, haven't they?
They have, and I think what you see with any young pitchers is you'll see the flashes and the good games like we've seen this last turn through. There's also going to be rough ones. I mean, there's just no way around it. I mean, I really think the Indians, I don't want to say they got spoiled, but it was a rarity when Bieber and Civale and Plesac came up. They had very few what you would consider tough outings, and that is extremely unusual for young pitchers. And I think we're seeing the norm now with some of these young guys that they have in the rotation now. But I think we've seen the upside in recent starts, and that's exciting. So there'll be some more tough ones, but I think there'll be some really good nights too, and that's encouraging.
Now, as far as the lineup goes, hopefully Jose Ramirez and will be back tonight. I know they held him out the other night because of that elbow that's been bothering him. But Ernie Clement's done a nice job. He's gotten some opportunities, hasn't he?
He sure has, and you know, it's not an easy role to be in. What he's doing as a rookie, not playing every day, and I mean, you have to earn your playing time, obviously, but he's in a spot where, you know, at second base, you have Cesar Hernandez. Third base, you have Jose Ramirez. Shortstop, you know, you're looking at Ahmed Rosario. There's not a whole lot of opportunity for playing time, but he seems to be able to handle that well. He's prepared all the time, and when he gets in there, he's been able to produce a lot and come up with some key base hits. So that's a credit to him, because what he's doing is not easy at this stage of his career.
Quantrill on the mound tonight, 7:10 first pitch. Dollar Bank Tribe Insider presented by Brew Kettle cranks up at 6. We got a 1:10 tomorrow then, right, guys?
Right. 1:10 first pitch. Quick turnaround.
And then off day on Thursday. All right, Jim Rosenhaus talking Indians Tribe Baseball with us this morning, WTAM 1100. Rosie, thanks much.
Thanks, guys.
See you, pal. Check out the Wills and Snyder podcast today. Terry Poto, Cleveland Plain Theater, Cleveland.com with us earlier, talking about the Browns. A few things.
Yeah, Sam, Browns, right, Cavs, and Indians are Terry's thoughts on all of those.
Had a chance to tee it up at Barrington yesterday, helping raise some money for the Turn, which just does an amazing job at changing course and improving lives. And a shout-out, Joe Foley's in town. He's from the USGA. He's our regional guy from
nice.
USGA. Great guy. David Belden, who's on the NOGA board. Great player, had fun. Rob Schulze, the host of hosts when it comes to a foursome. It's actually a fivesome, but that's beside the point. And Mark Tallarico, Mark's the and Merrill Lynch, Chagrin Falls stockbroker to the Stars. Great time yesterday. I basically held the pen pretty much all
I know you. You I'm sure you contributed.
And you had a good time with Austin.
Yeah, I had a great group yesterday. There, the Austin Carr golf outing, yeah. Golf charity outing, benefiting the Youth Opportunities Unlimited, the great work they do.
Good stuff.
We're young folks at Stonewater Golf Club. Great group of guys, Dan, Jeff, Chris, and Lee. They put up with me all day.
We had fun. Good time. A lot of money raised for some great causes yesterday. Yeah. Thanks for asking us to get involved. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, have a great day. Back in the morning.